I want you to declare with me, Lord Jesus. I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. You're really speaking to me. And my heart is perceiving. You know, sometimes our heart perceives and we don't like what's really happening. But he's been pressing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, so I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He brought me into an awareness of some of the pieces of the puzzle that will help us to not let the box rule. The box has definitely been quite well described this morning, and it's been made, let's say, visible. The box is what's on top of your shoulders. So you don't have to look all around and find some kind of a box somewhere, because you carry it with you. It's not supposed to be ruling all the time. Amen?
Amen.
So 2 Corinthians 10, and the focus would be definitely on verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to the anointing. You'll find that this confirms in 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to the anointing. I changed the word Christ just to give you an awareness. It's the anointing that the enemy doesn't want on you. Because when you and I are under the anointing, it's no longer me that's in charge of my mouth, it's him. And we saw that this morning. We saw it through words, we saw it through actions, and we saw it through choices, using different individuals that were prepared by God for this morning. The body was preaching to each other today. Did you notice it?
Yeah.
All right. So go back to verse 1 of chapter 10. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when I'm away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we might live by the standards of this world. When I make that comment, the standards of this world are in most congregations. I don't care what the title is. The title is not that important. But a great percentage of people underestimate that the deception in the church has caused it to fall asleep. And the Lord is allowing things that are happening to them and to us. But his purpose is to shake us, to wake us up. It's not punishment. Verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds are ways of thinking that you and I have lived in responses that we have on many. You know, we can have a conversation and we respond because we've heard it or we've been told this is the way to do it. Instead of having the Word of God and His press within us, we react to where our teachers are pressing us to act. I want to pause there for a moment to share with you that I received a short video that I listened to for about 3 minutes this morning, and I wanted to just weep. And I didn't even look back to who sent it to me. It's not important. But it showed, I would say, 10 and 11-year-olds, all boys and girls, standing on a stage, and they're singing, clapping their hands, and they're singing about, we're going to kill Christians and we're going to kill Jews because that's going to give glory to Allah and that's what we choose. Okay? Anybody see it? Okay. I can just see myself in St. Sylvester's School in Graniteville, Vermont, with all of my friends standing on the stage singing songs to the Lord and doing little plays that were part of the curriculum. And I was weeping inside because those children have no clue that they're being programmed. Then there was a question, where do you think this school is? Must be definitely in some foreign land. Right here, Philadelphia. I wanted to weep, and the Lord said, weep not. I wanted to intercede, the Lord said, no. Because you see, my flesh was right on top there. Okay? And that's where I was. Mm-hmm. How quickly we can respond. Rather than being angry, how about interceding for them? Those little kids haven't got a clue what they're being taught. They're not deceived because they haven't got the ability to be deceived. They don't have the thinking ability. They're being programmed. Mm-hmm. The last thing that I want from this pulpit and this body of believers is to make you think you're being programmed. Because if you rely on me, we're all in trouble. If you go back to the Word and see what it says, you're not going to fail. You see, I came upstairs and my emotions were, there was some anger and then there was weeping inside as I went over and I said to Irene what I had just seen. And she says, you said Philadelphia? Yes, dear. The city of love. Yeah. Well, how did that... And how did that video get? I said, oh, they weren't supposed to release it. It was an accident that it got released. Was it an accident?
Mm-mm. God allowed it.
Huh?
God allowed it.
Yeah. God allowed it to awaken the church.
To pray.
Vice President Pence went down to, I believe, Virginia and warned. Why is he warning? Does he have knowledge that you and I don't have as the vice president of this country?
I'm sure he does.
Could he have maybe seen some of that video or others like it? Why does the pulpit shy away from that? I'll leave it with you. This pulpit is open to expose the darkness, and to intercede for those that are broken and programmed by the wrong spirit. Now, verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. So we're not going to go take a shotgun and blow those kids up. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What's the stronghold that's deceiving all those people? We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to the anointing. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Most Christians don't want to do the complete part. We want to teach out of the emotions. Because while we're under the emotions, boy, we can do quite a job. It ain't God, but we can do a job. Rile them up and be an entertainer. And you're going to get a lot of yay men's and yay men. And you know what? I've watched that. And it's discouraging. Including disgusting. And you can see the ones that have been hired by the enemy to confirm carnal responses. Think about that. Carnal responses are going to get an amen. Holy Ghost responses are going to say he's off beat. And the Holy Spirit, when you allow him to go and prove the point that the word was the foundation, then you have a change of heart. And the Holy Spirit starts breaking down some of that carnal box stuff. And when it starts breaking, it's almost like an avalanche. You get to see the real me. And once you start seeing the real me, it might take you 20 years. Do I want it to be taking 20 years? No. But it might take you 20 years for you to begin to see what he has done and how much he's done so that you have confidence to carry the next commission. Because he's not going to download something new to you until you get what you know and have the assurance of walking in it. After you have walked by faith, you can teach others to do. But don't try to do it without you first walking in it. Royal Cronquist was a wonderful spiritual father, and he had a little saying that I never forgot. He says, it's better felt than telt. In other words, you can tell all day long, but once you've walked in it, once you've done the homework, and you have experienced what the Holy Spirit wants you to taste, you can then have compassion for those that are broken. And it won't be a compassion with judgment or criticalness. It's going to be an anointing to change the hearts. And intercession by you can change their hearts. Don't underestimate when you are laying yourself down before Father and saying, have mercy on them, forgive them. They know not what they do. The holy angels are listening. Yeah. Hebrews 1, verses 7 and 14. Those angels want to go to work and they're waiting for the word to come out of your mouth.
Amen.
And, oh, well, I'm not a real intercessor. Where in the hell did you receive that lie from?
You just said it.
Yeah, you got it from hell. Mm-hmm. Okay? Your intercession is so powerful before Father that it says one puts 1,000 to flight. Oh. Close your eyes right now. Say, my intercession.
My intercession.
Can put a thousand to flight.
Can put a thousand to flight.
If I'll only open my mouth.
If I'll only open my mouth.
And let my spirit rule.
And let my spirit rule.
Instead of the block. Hallelujah. Is it hitting home a little, yes, hopefully?
Yes.
Verse 7. You are looking only on the surface of things. And the footnote says, or looking at the obvious facts. And it's so comfortable to look at what we see and hear and touch and feel. Mm-hmm. Wow. Isn't he good? If you and I can experiment in obedience, when I say experience and experiment, I mean do the work that he's calling us to do, things will change in the Pioneer Valley. They will change. They will change. Amen. You know why I'm repeating it three times? Because some of you are resisting. Well, I don't qualify. BS. Fill in the blanks. You do qualify. You just don't believe what I'm trying to tell you, that this word is for you. This letter was written for all of us. And you know, when you downplay your position, the Heavenly Father looks at you and says, I thought I sent my son to set them free. Why don't they believe me? Why was the resurrection so foreign to the Jew?
They didn't believe he came in the first place, right?
Well,
they
think about it.
They thought they had it.
Huh?
They thought they had it. They were confident that they were God's people and we've got it.
Yeah. And they were totally asleep.
Yeah.
And the Lord said clearly, that message is for the 12. It's not for the others because they can't handle it. Mm-hmm. Their box is in full control, and don't disturb their box. Don't even knock on the box, because it ain't going to work. It has to come from within. And when it starts breaking from within, going up into the box, he then has a chance to use your mouth. And when you speak, the word of life, will pour out of you and change the atmosphere around you. And those that are hearing the word have an opportunity for a spark of life to go down inside of them.
That's right.
And it's called the seed of life.
That's right.
The sperm of the Father leaves your spirit and goes into them, and it activates something within them. And then he nourishes it, and he waters it, and he babies it until it starts growing. Verse 8. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letter. For some say, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letter when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. St. Paul is nailing it. Wait till I show up. I'll face you and I'll confront you. And he did. Thank God it's probably not recorded, but I do believe he probably chopped off a few spiritual heads and got rid of some boxes that were full of garbage and let the Spirit of God come alive in them so that they could become what they were called to be in the city of Corinth. You know, when the Holy Spirit begins a work, and he does what he is commissioned to do, it's not going to be logical to you. It's going to be foreign. When he is the author and finisher of each of us, our understanding won't be in the box. Our understanding will be the gifts of the and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Peace, love, and joy. Unspeakable joy can radically irritate those around you, believe me. Unspeakable joy and the giggles that come out of your spirit will not only irritate, but it'll baffle the wise. And they're going to shake their heads and say, they've gone over the deep end. They're holy rollers, forget it. You see, I remember going up to Toronto and having had a lot of reports about what was going on in Toronto. And I was prepared. I mean, I was a Holy Ghost kid, right? So we got to Toronto and we got to the service, and I'm there with my brother and his wife many years back. We're sitting maybe 25, 30 feet from the podium, and the worship team is at work. And I don't know if it's before the message or after the message, but it was just a beautiful time of the Holy Spirit doing an awesome work, just a real cleansing. And of course, I'm experienced. I've got knowledge. I know when the Holy Spirit's in action and what he wants me to do. And so there's a space in front of the worship team, probably approximately, I would say about 80 feet wide, going right straight across the incredible airplane hangar, that's where room for a couple 3,000 people, maybe four, I'm guessing. And I'm watching, and there's many of the worshipers that have now gone into a restful space, and they're all laying down on the floor. Holy Spirit says to my heart, you see that space over there? And I said, yes, I want you to go lay down in that space. Well, I don't think there's room enough for me over there. I'm tall, Lord. I didn't ask you how tall you were, son. Would you go and lay down in that space? Well, Lord, I'm going to have to step over people, and I don't want to. See? Did you notice me coming up? All right. Every excuse he tried. And the box wanted to stay in control until finally I said, I give up. And the minute I got up, I had a different perspective, because when I'm standing, I saw a path that would make it to that little corner that was open. I truly believe that when I got to it, somebody moved their legs and made room for my legs by rolling to the side or something. And that was God's doing. It wasn't me. I didn't shove anybody. And I was able to just lay down. I began to weep. And the rest is history. Why? I gave in to my inner heart. Put the box aside. Didn't listen to it any further. But you know what? He didn't quit even when I was laying down. And the anointing was on me. It was like an echo in the background. You really shouldn't stay here. You're disturbing. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody else could have had this space. Mm-hmm. And you know, every excuse in the book. And I believe I'm saying that to you because I'm trying to show you that the strongholds are much stronger than you realize. Mm-hmm. And I'm not making light of my experience. I am saying, however, pull down the strongholds as best you can. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you grace so that that box will not rule and reign. But that if it does try, that you'll be aware of it and lift up a standard. You might have to pray in tongues. You might have to just intercede. You might have to put on some worship music. I don't know which way that he might get you to obey. But don't just sit there and not do anything because you'll miss the moment. Just bow your heads. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I heard the word.
I heard
St. Paul speak.
I heard St. Paul speak.
Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
And I need grace to obey.
And I need grace to obey.
And your favor.
And your favor.
That I will not miss my opportunity.
That I will not miss my opportunity.
So that I can become.
So that I can become.
Like the Jesus that I love.
Like the Jesus that I love.
In total obedience to Papa.
In total obedience to Papa.
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
And I thank you, my Father.
And I thank you, my Father.
For this victory.
For this victory.
Will change my future.
Will change my future.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. This is Paul's defense of his ministry in the Passion Version. Now please listen, for I need to address an issue. I am making this personal appeal to you by the gentleness and self-forgetfulness of Christ. I am the one who is humble and timid when face to face with you, but bold and outspoken when a safe distance away. Now I plead with you that when I come, don't force me to take a hard line with you, which I am willing to do, by daring to confront those who mistakenly believe that we are living by the standards of this world, not by the Spirit's wisdom and power. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defense behind which people hide. I love that. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and breaks through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. Wow. As you choose complete obedience. Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear.